This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Massachusetts Environmental Police say they tried to tranquilize a young black bear found in a tree in Newton over the weekend, but the tranquilizer gun malfunctioned, so the bear was shot and killed. Lieutenant Colonel Chris Baker is with the Massachusetts Environmental Police, and he joins us to explain. Chris, thanks for being with Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So, as I understand it, Newton police called you early Sunday because this bear made its way up a tree near the Mass Pike. What happened?
Yes, our dispatch was contacted early on Sunday morning around 6:15 or so, and we were notified that a black bear, a young black bear, had been treed in Newton, Mass.
And is it typical that a bear in this situation would be tranquilized? Because obviously that's what many folks are saying. Why wasn't the bear just tranquilized? Is that, you know, something that we see on television, or does that really happen when you respond to a scene like this?
We do tranquilize bears, and we try to, when they're in an urban environment, we try to tranquilize them and take them out into a more rural environment. In this circumstance, we had limited personnel on. It was an early Sunday morning. There were limited resources available. The tranquilization itself is a very difficult process, and there are a lot of factors that are taken into account. We need to be able to safely tranquilize the bear. We need to estimate what the bear's weight is so that we can properly use the amount of drug necessary. Then we have to be able to transport the animal, and when we transport the animal, we need to have it iced down and kept cool so that it doesn't overheat, and then we have to take it to an area that's going to be conducive for a bear.
So in this case, did you try to tranquilize this bear?
We did, and as you mentioned, the one member of our team who had a tranquilizer gun with him had a misfire in the firearm, and therefore the dart did not discharge. So at that point, the options became much more limited as to what was available to us. The clock was ticking on the time frame because we factor in such things as the weather. And as you know, Sunday's weather was well into the 90s, and you know, keeping a bear and trying to tranquilize it in those conditions is very difficult.
So you only get one shot when you go to tranquilize? Is that it? And there was only one tranquilizer gun? And if that doesn't work, then you're out of luck?
Yes. Our tranquilizer team is a specialized unit. So the amount of firearms, the amount of tranquilizer guns that we have are limited, and they're dispersed across the state. On a Sunday morning at that time frame, we only had about 15 officers on in the whole state. And three of them were tied up on the Newton bear. Mm-hmm. The tranquilizer gun did misfire, and again, that caused the dart not to discharge. The tranquilizer gun was then rendered inoperable, and so we had to make a decision what to do with the bear.
You couldn't fix the gun on scene, the tranquilizer gun?
No, it was rendered inoperable.
Would the most ideal situation have been to tranquilize that bear, do you think?
Yes, that would have been our ideal situation. It is always an unfortunate decision when we have to euthanize an animal. We try not to, but when it comes down to public safety or the animal safety, you know, the situation could have been worse if the animal had run out onto the Mass Pike and been hit by a car, and you know, humans could have been injured. You know, we made the best decision we could at the time. It was an unfortunate one, but we did the best we could.
Lieutenant Colonel Chris Baker with the Massachusetts Environmental Police, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
For theater lovers, the Tony Awards are the most anticipated event of the year. They're coming up Sunday, and Bostonians have good reason to tune into the ceremony. Our very own Huntington Theater Company is receiving the 2013 Regional Theater Award. The Broadway League and American Theater Wing cited the Huntington for, quote, championing theater as an art form. The Huntington's artistic director, Peter Dubois, joined us earlier today to tell us why he thinks they were chosen for the award.
I think we're in a really exciting period right now, and we've really expanded our new play programming and our focus on Boston writers and really bringing Boston writers into a national scene, I think, was a big part of it, too.
Really? So it is this focus on local, finding local talent and developing new talent. Do you think that's what's really important right now?
I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, the whole sort of focus, you see it in the food movement, you know, it's all about eating local. And I think Boston's got a lot to offer in terms of writers, directors, performers, and I think that that's being brought to bear on a national stage now. It's very exciting.
So let's talk about some of the performances for which the Huntington's been recognized in this particular award. Sons of the Prophet.
It was a piece we developed with the Roundabout Theater in New York, and I think it's a great example of something we do best, you know, which is provide a home for a writer. Stephen Karam worked here in Boston. We did the original production here in Boston. We then continued work on the play and did it at the Roundabout Theater. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize and swept the award season that spring.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Nelson, who was in the play, and Jonathan Dent, who was in the play, both of them are Boston actors. And after Sons of the Prophet in New York, both of them got agents. So it's really exciting when we're able to launch people's careers like that in New York.
Now, another production for which the Huntington has been cited was Stickfly. That was Lydia Diamond's production. You did that in 2010. A lot of interesting themes, and I'm going to let you explain them because you'll do a better job than I will.
Stickfly tells the story of the LaVey family who are out on Martha's Vineyard, and we realize over the course of the play that their father has had an affair with the housekeeper. And so they, over the course of the play, they realize that the housekeeper's daughter, who's filling in for her that weekend, is actually their sister. And so it's quite an explosive and amazing story. And it digs deep in terms of the dialogue about race and class and integrates it into a really intriguing domestic melodrama.
We actually have a clip from the production that we should listen to, and this is during a game
this
of
is,
Trivial
yeah,
Pursuit.
Yeah, the kids are have had a few drinks, and they're playing a game of Trivial Pursuit.
So this blonde sales girl, she's just on me, so I say, look, I've traveled all over the world, and I'm a doctor, damn it. Why you want to sweat me like that?
Stop talking. Maybe he'll take his turn.
No, I'm just saying, what the hell am I going to steal from Pottery Barn?
You can put a candle in your pocket or something.
That was rhetorical, Cheryl. Go!
Then, of course, a clip from Lydia Diamond, Stickfly. Explain that a little
bit.
What
the hell am I going to steal from Pottery Barn? We see it all the time, you know, these subtle forms of racism that are around us, you know, every day. And Lydia takes that and spins it into fantastic comedy.
And why was that play a good fit for the Huntington?
It's smart. It's funny. It's ferociously contemporary. And it deals with the complexities of race in our time. I don't think a lot of people are writing about families like the LaVeys right now. And so it just felt like a real immediate fit for us.
Hmm. Another production, Thornton Wilder's Our Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily a contemporary, wildly contemporary, but you did a different take on it.
We did. David Cromer created this production of Our Town in Chicago that then went to New York, and it was his own sort of take on the play. But when he came to Boston, he saw the local actors here, and he actually cast 29 out of 31 roles locally. And he said, I want to start creating theater with Boston actors. And so we're going to work on Come Back Little Sheba with him in 2 years. We'll start developing it next year. And he wants to do it exclusively with Boston talent.
Huh. When you talk about looking for locals, looking for something different, looking for something ferociously contemporary, I'm wondering how theater adapts and your thoughts about how theater adapts to contemporary times and maybe taking a new take on a classic and bringing it forward in a different way, but also trying to keep current with what's happening with technology, as all media forms are doing now. I've heard of things called tweet seats, right?
Right.
In theaters that allow
right.
people to use their smartphones. And how does the Huntington or theater in general adapt to this changing landscape?
I took a pretty firm position when the Tweet Seats thing was happening, because my feeling is when the curtain goes down, the phones are off and your focus is on the stage. What we have introduced is something called Twitter Mission, where people during intermission can go come out to the lobby and be in dialogue with one of our artists. So it could be a scenic designer that's in New York. So you're watching the show in Boston. You go out to the lobby, the projection designer, the scenic designer, maybe it's an understudy who's downstairs in the dressing room, is tweeting live during intermission, and those tweets are on our flat screens in the lobby, and you can interact and interface with those artists. And what I love is also people from other cities can be in conversation with people who are in our lobby at the same time. From a programmatic point of view, we've had a huge shift from doing five shows in an 870-seat house and two shows in our 375-seat house in the South End. And we've shifted from five and two to four shows in the 875-seat house, three shows in the 375-seat house, and one show in our 200-seat black box. So the landscape has shifted. I don't think every theatrical experience today, the way it was, you know, 100 years ago, is meant to happen in an 875-seat Broadway-style proscenium house. So we've got smaller venues that can adapt to visions like David Cromer. You know, David's Our Town was meant, and, you know, he won a MacArthur Genius Award for this take on Our Town. I mean, this is really brilliant theater. It is very much of this moment, but it needs to happen in a small, intimate 200-seat venue. It can't happen in a big house. Mm. Part of the limited attention span of individuals is that people are hanging on every word. They're not leaning back and letting things wash over them. So every word, every thought, every beat in the play has to have meaning and significance.
So that makes your job a lot harder.
It sure does.
Yeah. You've got to keep everybody interested.
Right. Let us review lesson 11.
Well, congratulations again.
Thanks so much.
All right, that's Peter Dubois. He's artistic director for the Huntington Theater Company, which will be receiving the 2013 Regional Theater Tony Award this weekend. We'll go out now on some music from another one of the Huntington's recent productions. This is Best of All Possible Worlds from Candide.
Pray classify pigeons and camels.
Pigeons can fly.
Camels are mammals.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. Anthony and Meghna are back tomorrow when you can join us again for more Radio Boston.
The best of all possible world. Forever demonstrando. For guilt needs me. Forever demonstrando.
Forever demonstrando.
For guilt needs me. Forever demonstrando.